Remember I shared last week how when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage, they were at the Red Sea. God parted the waters. They walk across on dry ground. Now when they're about to enter the promised land, they're at the Jordan River and it's flooded and it's out of the bank. What happens? Another miracle, Brother Mo. The waters part. They walk across. See, God not only has the power to bring us out of where we're at, He has the power to do the miraculous to take us where we need to go. Some of you have not yet gotten to the place that the Lord wants you to be, and you want to be there, but don't you grow weary. Don't you quit midstream. Don't you jump off the horse, sit in the saddle, and spur. I want to share with you a simple passage tonight. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Now, in the preceding verses, this is a story where Jesus had just fed the multitudes. On one occasion he fed 4,000, and on another occasion he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. This is the occasion where he had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And immediately thereafter, we pick up in verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. It says, immediately, and I'm reading from the New King James. Usually I use the King James Version, y'all know that, but New King James tonight, in case you're wondering. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, and while he sent the crowd away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Don't miss that phrase. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they, yeah, I know. I better get a drink. All that hot air dried my mouth out. And he would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. They were afraid, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and he said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he went up into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves. See, he's making reference back to the feeding of the thousands. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Here is the scene. Just had a miraculous occurrence of feeding of thousands of people from a few loaves, a few fishes. The disciples were present. They witnessed it, they saw it, and I don't know of any Christian that's ever been to a fish fry and didn't join in. They probably had partaken of the food. Yet Jesus immediately says, "Get in that boat, go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to stay here, send the people away, and I'll meet you over there." They heard him clearly. They get in the boat, start paddling. Storm comes up. Wind's blowing against them. They're having a rough time rowing. Thank God for motorboats now, huh? Jesus saw it. He saw that the wind was contrary and that they were having a hard time, difficulty. Kind of like our journey through life, is it not? Sometimes the rowing gets really tough. Sometimes the winds are adverse to the direction we're wanting to go. Sometimes the storms seem insurmountable. Sometimes the wind not only blows, but the waves get rough. Sometimes our footing is a little unshaky. Sometimes we just want to get the heck out of the boat and get back on some dry land somewhere. Am I just talking to me? So they're doing what God has told them to do, what Jesus has told them to do. They've gotten in the boat. They're paddling. They're heading to the other side. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes walking, it says, on the sea. He comes walking on the very thing that they're troubled about. The very thing that has them afraid, the very thing that they think is going to be their demise, the very thing that they think will be their end. Might I remind you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things that we think are insurmountable, the things that we think will overtake us, look, it's just a stroll for him. He can still show up. But I drew your attention to one phrase there where it says, and he would have passed them by. Why do you suppose that's in there? Was it because he didn't care for his disciples? Was it because he didn't love his disciples? Absolutely not. You see, he knew. He had faith. He had a no-so that because they were in his plan, doing what he had told them to do, it might get a little rough, might get a little tough, might be a little difficult, but that they were going to arrive on the other side okay. He was just going to meet them on the other side just like he had said that he would. But when they saw him, they supposed that it was a ghost, a spirit, the King James translation says. And they were afraid. They cried out. And unlike Peter in the other story where he says, Jesus, these guys were going, oh, no. Because immediately Jesus says, it is I. Don't be afraid. How oftentimes in our storms and in our circumstances, in our situations, is he's right there. And we see him, but don't recognize him. We see him, but don't understand that he's promised that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll go with me all the way to the very ends of the ages, all the way to the end of the world. And that with every situation, he's going to make a way of escape. He gets in the boat. Peace. The winds cease. The waters calm. They get to the other side. My message tonight is very simple to you, saints, children of God. In the middle of your battles, your struggles, your adversities tonight, keep loving, keep trusting, keep believing, keep doing what you know to do. Equip and arm yourself with the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Go forth. Watch God show up, show out, and make a difference in your circumstance, in your situation. Watch God do what only He can do. Watch Him confound you with how He will do it. I don't know how. I think sometimes He just kind of amuses Himself by being creative. A lot of times it's stretching our faith. A lot of times it's growing us. But I would say this to you. The Word is so important for multiple reasons. But let me just give you a few of them. He says in His Word, the Lord watches over His Word to perform it. You see, it's imperative that you do your combating, your fighting, along with your trusting and believing and acknowledging that you do it with the Word of God, because God watches over His Word to perform it. He also said that His Word will accomplish that which He has sent it to do. You think it's important for you to use the Word? He tells us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And tonight I'm just trying to challenge you and at the same time encourage you and try to iron sharpen iron. Tonight I want to just kind of help push you down the road and getting back in the race to run and to win. I want to encourage you tonight that just like where when Moses would have his arms up in battle, Israel would prevail, but as his arms would come down, they'd begin to lose. And so after a period of time, Aaron and Hur took a rock and set it on each side of him. And they set him down on the rock, and they stood there and held his hands up so that Israel could prevail. I want you to know that we of Open Range, we need to learn how to hold people's hands up, not throw stones, not cast judgment, not be hard, not be unsympathetic, not be bitter and mean, and not be uncompassionate or not be non-caring. But instead, we need to be in there to hold one another's hands up, because guess what? One day, you'll be one of those people that needs somebody holding your hands up so that you can continue on in victory. Tonight, I want to encourage you, endure, persevere, press on, dig in, hold on, don't give up, don't quit. The only way you as a child of God loses is if you quit. When I was playing football at Woodlawn High School many, many years ago, it was a piece of tape over the door as we exited the door. Some of y'all will remember this. Other schools, I'm sure, had it too, or something like it. But written in a magic marker on that tape stuck over the door were these words: "A quitter never wins, and a winner never quits." Spiritually speaking, those words could not be more true. A winner never quits. Are you a winner? Don't quit. Would you bow your heads and we'll close.